Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the happening in the world of sports. Additionally, I'm going to talk off right now because that's what we do on this radio program. Brandon Grace, had that little slip-up, you may remember, at the U.S. Open when he hit it in the railroad tracks in 16, that big slice. So I thought it was huge for him to get past that hurdle this weekend at the RBC Heritage and get past all those mental demons from what happened at Chambers Bay, because those things can stick around in your head for a while, especially down the stretch. He hadn't won in this country. Had 9 wins worldwide. And he's successfully gotten past that now. And he put together a nice little 66, made some putts when he had to in the middle part of the second nine, the back nine, and put the round together that you needed to. And here we are with him as a champion on the PGA Tour and in great shape going forward with the final 3 majors of the year still ahead of us, plus the Olympics and what will be a jam-packed race to see who ends up on that Olympic team. Right now, if you look at who will be going, it'll be Brandon Grace and Louis Oosthuizen right next to each other in the World Golf Rankings this week, 11 and 12. He moved up to 11. Danny Willett vacated number 12. He's now ninth. 1 through 10 stayed the same. Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Henrik Stenson, Adam Scott, Dustin Johnson, Willett, and Justin Rose, and that's kind of where we are as we look at the schedule, as I look at the ranking here. So Brendan Grace gets the win that he needed. He moves up in the rankings. He moves up in the FedEx Cup points. I had to bring up these rankings for something else anyway. He is now 19th. He was 90th. Now he's 19th. Top 10 FedEx Cup points is Adam Scott, Day, Russell Knox, Brant Snedeker, Kisner, Mr. Spieth, Na, Justin Thomas, Bubba, and Smiley Kaufman. Those are the guys. Also, all the guys who are over 1,000 points. Becky Matsuyama just a tad under at 989. And one right now, 1 through 13 are guys that have won this year. Matsuyama, McDowell, and Duffner. Everybody else, Peter Malnati's up there, Griot's up there, 17, 18 for Gomez, 19 for Grace, 20 for Herman, 16 for Schwartzel, and on the way down are guys who have won. But right now, 1 through 13, are guys who have won this year on the PGA Tour, and Brandon Grace is now the newest winner of those. Luke Morrow is always a winner, and he joins us in 30 seconds. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling on Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and iTunes.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA's been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
We welcome back to the show our great friend, the Director of Broadcasting Excellence and Media Relations. No, seriously, the Director of Broadcasting and Media Relations for the Daytona Tortugas, which is the minor league affiliate of the Chicago Cubs, our great friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Morrow. Hello.
Hello. I like to think that my media relations are just as excellent as my broadcasting, though others may not say that, but...
No,
thank you for the introduction, nonetheless.
Well, no, well, let's talk about this for a second. Isn't the art of media relations to never yell? I mean, isn't that the bottom line? Never be mean, never yell?
I suppose. I mean, I never yell anyway, so I got that part down, so I guess that means I'm doing something right.
You are in a powerful position. How have you wielded your power so far? Have you, like, determined what is in the fridge in the... broadcasting booth, how have you used this added power that you now have?
I have forced a lot of people to run and grab me coffee, and I don't even drink coffee. I just like the ability to have people get me things. I mean, it's nice to be in this position instead of, you know, being the assistant and serving under a director. But I've been in that position as well for the past 2 years, so I know what it's like. So you know, I don't pull any sort of stuff like that and try to show off, you know, that I'm in the other spot than what I've been in the past couple of years.
It's interesting. Minor league baseball, as we've talked about a ton over the years, is an ever-changing revolving door. And it's tough to get consistency, and sometimes it's tough to build storylines when you have a team that is constantly changing and a roster that's constantly changing. Here we are. It's about 3 weeks into the major league season. You guys kicked off, what, about a week and a half ago. What has been the early storylines for the Daytona Tortugas, and how has this team come together in such a short amount of time?
Well, unfortunately, the storyline has been that the offense has really struggled. They were shut out yesterday for the second time in the last four games, being held to just four hits. But, you know, there's a lot of talent on this team. They just haven't completely put it together just yet on the field. But this roster features 11 of the top 30 prospects in the system. So, you know, there's some good names on the roster, and we're just waiting for everything to come together. Our leadoff hitter is off to a slow start. That doesn't help things. Our number three hitter has driven in just one run so far. And those are things that will change as the season goes along. The guys are still getting towards mid-season form, and it's a big jump up to advanced A ball here compared to where a lot of them were last year in just rookie ball. So waiting for the offense to come around, a lot of talent in the starting rotation and the pitching staff as a whole. But off the field, you know, the guys are really good with one another. It's a good clubhouse. It's a good group of people, first and foremost, which makes my job easier. And it's a hardworking group as well. And they're guys that came up together throughout the system. They were a part of the Billings team in rookie ball 2 years ago that won the championship, and they've kind of moved throughout the system. So they're familiar with each other. They obviously spend spring training with one another, where by the end of spring training, they divvy them up into the rosters for the upcoming season. So they all know each other. They get along well, and eventually that will translate on field too, because as we've heard, especially in recent years, chemistry has become an important thing for baseball teams.
Since this is spring training for radio show hosts, refresh the memory of everybody out there. What is advanced A-ball, and what is the current labeling system for minor league baseball? Because some of these things have changed names over the years, so some people may be confused.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more levels to minor league baseball than people realize. I think everyone just thinks it's A, double A, Triple A in the major leagues, but there's rookie ball, there's even the Dominican leagues and that are kind of below rookie ball. But the gist of it is that you go from rookie ball to just, well, then there's short season A ball for some organizations, and then there's regular A ball, and then there's advanced A, and then you get to Double A, Triple A for the major leagues. So there's like five or six real levels in minor league baseball. And advanced A is the highest of the three different A categories, and it's right below Double A. So this is three steps from big leagues, and if you ever hear somebody's in A ball, as I said, advanced A is the most advanced, as the name suggests, of the A possibilities in if that makes sense.
Now, the name that a lot of people hear a lot is extended spring training, and they hear that a lot because a lot of teams will leave guys that are behind back, and because of the rules tweaks, you can lead off every inning, you can have five outs in an inning, you can do a lot of things to help your major leaguers. Where does extended spring training take place for a lot of teams?
Well, for us, it takes place in Arizona. I corrected you on the media relations part in the intro and didn't get to say that the Tortugas are now part of the Cincinnati Reds organization.
Oh.
For the Cubs.
God, I'm an idiot. Okay.
I'd rather make myself sound better, and so I went for the media relations angle. But this is the second year with the Reds, but they're just like the Cubs in that both teams' spring training is out in Arizona. So for us here in Daytona, we don't have to worry about extended spring or any sort of those, simulated games and all that sort of stuff here in Daytona, because that all takes place out in Arizona. So it doesn't have an effect on us, but every other team in the Florida State League plays at the parent club's spring training facility, so they all deal with that. But that doesn't affect the Tortugas directly because there's so many fields at these complexes, and they have, so many guys that are still in extended spring, whether they're injured or not, and are not with a roster of an A team or a double A or triple A, that, those guys, we never see those guys if there's an injured player just out here in Florida working out. So it's a different situation working here in Daytona, and I'm not complaining about it for sure. Without having spring training, exactly, it's a lot more work for the other organizations in the league, both before our season starts in March and then even throughout the season, dealing with everything else that goes on at those facilities when you have to manage, up to eight fields in one lot of land. So we just have to worry about the Tortugas year-round, which can be nice at times. And for the Reds, any sort of extended spring or rehabbing players before they play in actual games, that's all out in Arizona.
All right, so let's now go backwards, because this has been a huge story, too, and a lot of people who are in the sports business realm have heard about this as well. We've got minor league teams that are changing their affiliations. Now, some of this is obviously logistical. For example, the Mets have had a problem where their AAA is in Las Vegas, which creates all sorts of issues because of stats not being equal because of the because of elevation, and also the logistical issues of trying to get guys who they need to call up all the way from Vegas back to New York. You guys switched from the Cubs to the Reds. Why does that stuff tend to happen?
Well, what happened in this circumstance was that the Cubs wanted to go on elsewhere. Florida's beautiful. I love it down here. I love being down here. And we've been incredibly lucky with our weather these first couple weeks. But we all at the same time anticipate the summer months here where the rain really begins. And so through the tarp poles and delays and so on and so forth. And sometimes that can wreak havoc on a minor league team when you're trying to get guys work. If you have a rehabber, you want to make sure they're able to pitch when they're here, so on and so forth. So we had a great relationship with the Cubs here in Daytona, dating back to 1992 up until the end of the 2014 season. But they had an opportunity to go to Myrtle Beach, and they chose to do so, I think because of a large part being the amount of rain that does come down here in Florida. Now, it rains in every part of the country, of course, but I think the hope is that you don't have to worry about it as much outside of the Sunshine State here in the Florida State League down here for advanced day. So they moved on to Myrtle Beach when they had the opportunity to do so, and the Cincinnati Reds saw the opportunity to slide into Daytona, and they did, coming from Bakersfield, California. And the transition couldn't have gone any better from, as far as I can tell, either side. The fans ate it up after a while, and crowds last year were just as good as they were years prior with the Cubs. People are just as passionate about the Tortugas now, the Cincinnati Reds here in town, as they were about the Daytona Cubs and Chicago Cubs. And on the other side, as far as I can tell, it seems like partnership here has worked well for both sides, and things have gotten off to a good start being an affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds now.
Talking to our friend and colleague, of course, Mr. Luke Morrow, who does the media relations and broadcasting for the Daytona Tortugas. Final question on this subject, and I completely forgot it, which is not good. On my, oh yes, is, and this is such a cliche question, but it's Jay Schilling. I ask cliche questions on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. Is it a rite of passage that everybody that plays or works for the Tortugas has to go to the Daytona International Speedway?
You know, it should be.
Yeah, it should be. It's a nice place. I mean, I have not been there, obviously, since Daytona Rising, but it's a great facility. I was there a bunch of years back, the year 2000.
Really?
And it's a great, it's a great place. That was the St. Augustine, Florida trip that a snowstorm cut short, and I convinced my parents I had to fly home, which was a good call because then the airport shut down, and we ended up in the grocery store at midnight, and it was the first time I'd ever been in a grocery store at midnight, which is an interesting thing.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you know, I mean, for Daytona, unfortunately, our airport's really small here, and it's right next to the racetrack. It's cool when you fly into Daytona, you fly right over.
Yeah.
The speedway, and you can see it beautifully. But when we have guys have to fly in or out, generally it's out of Orlando because it's such a larger airport. So they don't have to go through the speedway, and unfortunately for most of them, they don't even get to see the little flyover on their arrival to Daytona as a first impression.
And obviously, in that case, they all have to go to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. You were only an hour away. You fly into Orlando. Got to go to Disney World. It's unfortunate we don't, the Braves don't have a team down there, and soon they won't even have a spring training team down there. But otherwise, we could jump away to Disney World on an off day.
Well, who's at the Wide World of Sports facility?
Well, the Atlanta Braves are there now, but from what I gather, I believe they are either moving or looking to move out of Orlando in the future.
Speaking of the Wide World of Sports, that's of course the slogan of our great friend, or was for many years, over at ABC Sports, and this is where Jay Show pivots back to regular stuff. Well, not regular stuff, but the mainstream Major League professional sports. When you looked at the Vikings schedule, did you see 15-1 on it?
You know, I saw 16-0.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough schedule. They had a tough schedule last year too. Unfortunately, they were able to put up a good record, and that looks pretty tough this year. It's tough to tell now.
Yes.
You go off of last year's teams and what you expect, so you never know. But here, before the draft, looks like a relatively tough schedule. But as we've talked, quite a few primetime games, holiday games. So I like the setup.
We've had this discussion on the show before, and especially on the Sunday Sprint, you know, especially with the Jets having some of the worst Thanksgiving Day memories that you could ever ask for, including butt fumble, which is the greatest moment in the history of sports. But do you like your teams playing on holidays? Because literally it's Merry Christmas to you, and then Teddy Bridgewater could throw four interceptions and you're suddenly in a trouble land.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. That was my first thought. I was thinking, you know, I saw we were playing on Christmas Eve during the day, and in my family, we celebrate Christmas Eve later on, you know, at the evening. So, you know, the game's at 1. If we lose at 4 o'clock and I have to go to my aunt's house, I don't know how much fun Christmas Eve will be that night, especially with that being week 16 and against the Packers and hoping that it's going to be a very important game. So, but with that said, I mean, it's still fun. I remember we played the Packers on Christmas Eve 2004. It was a Saturday night game, I want to say. You know, it wasn't a Sunday where everyone was playing. It was a special day. And the Vikings ended up losing to the Packers, and that was a big game that year. But it was just fun. You know, you're around with family on the holidays, and then to be able to throw in the Vikings, two of my biggest passions and loves, if you will, it can be a good combination, hopefully.
I thought I was your biggest passion.
Well, I mean, I am here on the show, aren't I?
Yes, that is very true.
So you're up there.
Yeah, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. I am on record saying that Johnny Manziel will never play another down in the NFL, and I think with every story that progresses, that becomes more and more likely. It saddens me because I see Tiger 2009 and Johnny kind of in the same box, so to speak. That Tiger you know, his adultery happened for a reason. We'll probably never know what the reason is, but there's a reason why Tiger needed to do what he did. And for some reason, Johnny Manziel will not listen to anyone in his life and feels that he can go nuts and spend $20,000 rummaging through rental homes and having the time of his life and then claim he's living with Von Miller and changing his life, which is clearly not happening. And then he ends up over the weekend in a bouncy house, which is probably the safest place Johnny has ended up, in one of those big things with the balls that you know, five-year-olds play in. I continue to be of the notion that he will never play another down in the NFL. What's your take?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was surprised he even lasted as long as he did in the league. But you know, it's a shame. It's wasted talent. It's wasted opportunity. And you know, in the comparison between he and Tiger, I didn't follow the Tiger story as close, certainly, as you and a lot of other people, because, as you know, I'm not as big into golf. But from the outside perspective, what's that?
How dare you not be deeply into golf?
I know, and here I am on teeing it up. But
yes.
From the outside perspective, and not knowing the blow-by-blow of Tiger, from my point of view, it seemed like he did the right things afterwards. We're here for Manziel. It seems like he's done all the wrong things after. You know, acknowledging that there's an issue and going through all these struggles. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on exactly with Manziel. He obviously has some sort of a problem. Maybe it's, you know, some sort of illness or addiction that he can't control. And I hope the best for him. I hope he gets the help he needs. But so far, he has not been making the right decisions to get back on the right track. And even if he does so and turns around these issues he's having off the field, I just think it's too late for a career in the NFL.
It's interesting, as we talk to the great Luke Morrow. See, I am hyping you as much as I can as the director of broadcasting excellence.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Excuse me. And now I'm all choked up over you. Look at that. this is what you do to me, Luke. It's just sad. It's really sad that he can't get himself all together. Pablo Sandoval has made a lot of bank accounts sad in Boston because he... You like that transition, don't you? I heard that little laughter under the volume. I don't know what to say. Clearly, this is a failed deal that is not helping either side. And when you can't make it out of spring training as the starter, you have a problem. Where does this Red Sox team go? This is Patriots Day. This is the most important day on the calendar for you guys, and you've not gotten off to the start that you need.
Yeah, I mean, Sandoval is just an embarrassment. And I feel bad for the guy because obviously nobody wants to go out there and most people don't want to go out there and intentionally do bad and not try and play terribly and get booed and all that sort of stuff. And for Sandoval, I think that's the case. I don't think it was a cash grab. I think he is trying out. The whole weight thing is a whole other story. But he's always played overweight. And so I kind of feel bad for the guy because he's become like the most hated man in Massachusetts amongst everyone. But that said, I mean, he's just not a good baseball player right now. And I think he was always on the decline. What happened was he had that phenomenal postseason, and so often we see a guy string together a good month at the end of the year, whether it's the regular season or the postseason, really in any sport, and oftentimes that leads to a big contract afterwards. I mean, to stick with the Red Sox, Rich Hill made like four good starts for a miserable Red Sox team last year in September, filling in the rotation, and he gets $6 million this year in a spot in the Oakland A's rotation because of just four appearances. So, along those same lines, you know, Sandoval had a great postseason, and it's like, hey, let's throw a lot of money at this guy to be our third baseman. But it's easy to say now, but at the time, I wasn't the biggest fan of the Sandoval signing either, and it certainly has not worked out. You know, I like Travis Shaw a lot. I'm glad that they didn't go with the whole, well, we're paying this guy a lot of money, so we have to play him, and now Sandoval's on the DL because he's worthless on the bench, so that was another good move. So, it's just sad, but it shows to me just, I think, how poor of a job Ben Sherrington really did, both with that, the Hanley contract, which looks better now that he's actually putting in some effort at first base, and a few other moves over the years at Sherrington as well. So the Red Sox are going to have to try to find a way somehow to get out from underneath this
and he's on the DL with a mysterious shoulder injury, which is now an official shoulder injury, which I guess is a good sign in the sense that we are not in the hiding injury business or making up false injury for the good of the team business.
Well, at least not in that case, because it still happens quite a bit.
Yeah. You guys are 6-5 and second right now in the AL East. A lot of baseball is very mediocre. Looking at these standings, there's a lot of teams that are right around 500, two games over 500, whatever it is. It is early. And especially the Mets can't get consistent pitching or offensive performances together, which is a big problem for them, even though they've made up the difference and now have a zero-run difference early on. And everybody has won a game, which is very important, Luke. We don't want anybody to go winless, and the Braves finally got some wins, so that's good for them. It's always happy to see every team get a win. We don't like winless people out there. Speaking of winless, your Magic are not going to be winning any titles anytime soon. So they are still 0-for as they finished. What is that? That's 11th at 35-47 this year. 22 games back of the Cleveland Cavaliers. What is the postmortem for you on the Orlando Magic? We never talked about them on this show, which I think says something.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been relevant for a couple of years, but a step in the right direction. I mean, they improved by, I think, something like 10 wins this year compared to last in the first year under Scott Skiles. So it's a step in the right direction, and I'm excited for the future. I think they'll continue to get better. I was kind of critical of the Skiles hire as well, and the big thing he was supposed to bring was defense, and he brought it early, and then it kind of seemed to run its course just about a month or two into the season. The team started playing terrible defense and really went on a slide there in the middle part of the season into the second half of the year. So we'll see what year two brings with him. The big thing I take away from this season, along with the improvement in record, and I think the step in the right direction, is that they got rid of Tobias Harris in what I thought was a stupid trade, and I don't really know why they got rid of him. I thought they didn't use him properly to begin with. I think he could be one of the more talented players in the league because he can do a little bit of everything. He's tall, but he can step out and shoot. And they just never really got it right with him and then just gave him up for not a whole lot. And I think he's going to turn into a good player, and he was a young guy, and one of the members of the young core group that the Magic were trying to build around. So I thought that was a step back, and just a stupid move from Orlando, which in my opinion, as a fan, they've made quite a few of them over the past few years since the whole Dwight Howard era. But nonetheless, I'm still excited for the future, and I think it is a team that's going to continue to improve.
The winner of the NBA Finals is the Golden State Warriors, am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they lost, 9 times the whole season. I don't know if they can lose 4 times to one team over a week or two.
And was Kobe's finale the best send-off you've ever seen?
No. I was sick of hearing all about it. I mean, good for Kobe. I guess it was fitting. He went out with 60 points. But the guy took 50 shots, and I get wanting him to give him the ball to shoot, for his last game in a meaningless game, and I get that. But then put an asterisk next to the 60 points. You hear everyone talking about how great Kobe did in his final game. I mean, the guy scored 60 points on 50 shots. If you take 50 shots, I hope you're scoring 60. I wasn't impressed, but, good for Kobe, I guess. And he had a great career, and I wish him the best in retirement.
Is there anything else you'd like to say in this appearance on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling, the single greatest radio show ever invented?
I think he just said it, that this is the single greatest radio show in history and the best one I've ever been on as a guest and part of in the football season.
Well,
that's all I've got.
Let me try to botch one more thing about this phone call. It's DaytonaTortugas.com. I'm going to take a guess. Is that the right...
You got it right.
Look at that.
DaytonaTortugas.com and get everything you need.
Look at that. I actually got something right. And you're affiliated with the Miami Heat, right?
That would be something.
Okay. That's Luke Morrow. We thank him, as always, for coming on Teeing It Up. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, as always.
That is today's Teeing It Up. We'll see you next week, everybody. Good night.